today on Real Radio.
If you're a Christian and if you're on campus today, I highly recommend that you do not walk into class or go about announcing that you're a Christian. Now, you're probably thinking, I can't believe he just said that. That's right, I said it. I do not think you should walk into a class and announce, by the way, I'm a Christian. You don't do that anymore. It's not compromise what I'm talking about. In fact, Jesus said it. He said, don't cast the pearl before swine, lest they grab it, turn, and rend you. This world today is antichrist. You announce that you're a Christian, or you somehow indicate that you're a Christian, and we'll get through the study tonight. There's a way to do it. But you are a target.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack begins his topical series called Being a Christian While Being on Campus. Of all the environments of opposition to the believer who wants to proclaim and defend the faith, high school, college, the world of academia has to be by far the most challenging. Sometimes we experience subtle resistance, sometimes blatant hostility. In any event, do we really know how to handle the situation? That's what pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs addresses today in his series called Being a Christian While Being on Campus.
There must be overwhelming evidence to back up creation's claim. Well, listen. The Bible announces that God created. Number one, the supposition is this, that God is a designer and a creator. He calls himself the creator. What attributes does a creator have? The ability to have concept, design, idea, to put those things together and to not only assemble and produce something, which all takes reason and logic. It takes a creator to drive a Mercedes-Benz. It takes a creator to fly an airplane. It takes a creator to wear the clothes you're wearing. Everything that you and I have observable in this world screams creator designer. If it's the blade of grass to the glasses sitting on your nose, they could not exist without a creator. Logic dictates that. So where's the evidence? The evidence is we can make a shuttle, but we can't make grass. Well, is creation a fact or theory? By the evidence of science, creation becomes a fact. Because you cannot point to me anything out in this world that has evolved.
But Pastor, there's things, you know, when you take a frog and from the desert and you put it into an aquarium where it's slimy and wet, the frog grows, it drops its thumbs. This is a true story, you know.
Are you guys with me? The thumbs fall off on the frog, on the male frog, only the male, by the way. Apparently the frog does not live in California. The thumbs fall off and it grows a hook, like a bird, like a cat claw. The desert frog gets into a wet tank, drops its thumbs, grows some hooks, and gets on top of the female and makes little frogs. Okay? People will say, that's evolution, you silly person, you. You might have thought so until you take the DNA out of that frog and find out that written in the DNA code of that frog is the ability, when it's in a moist environment, to drop its thumbs and grow some hooks to propagate the race. Here's evolution, that the frog gets kissed by Mrs. Frog, and that frog turns into a prince and comes to Calvary Chapel. That's evolution. Variation within the species, listen, this is a big deal in evolution, is, oh, look at this, no, wait a minute. We know in Papua New Guinea, we know that when the rains come, very, very heavy rains during the winter, that when the springtime comes, all the finches grow huge beaks. Huge beaks. And they go, evolution. And then when the rains are not so heavy and there's little growth in the grasses, their beaks remain small. They fluctuate from year to year based upon what? Based upon the level of rain, which produces what? The level of grass and seed growing. And so when there's a lot of grass, guess what God said? I'm writing in the DNA variation within the species. Just like there's black humans, white humans, yellow, red humans, tall humans, short humans, variation within the species. But you never see people walking by and then into something else. Hey!
Look at me.
Unbelievable stuff. What's the evidence? Does creationism support all the other sciences? This is the cool part. Yep. Why? Well, why? Why? Because our God made both. That's why. Our God is God, and he made creation. He made the physical universe in complete connection with his word. He's the engineer of them both. Good science, true, repeatable science applied to this world. Open up your Bible, open up your science, together. Right on target every time. This universe is absolutely an announcement of perfect precision. Remarkable. Right now you're sitting here so comfortable. Imagine if this globe that you're sitting on moved 5 miles closer to the sun right now. You'd be burning up. 5 miles away from the sun, you'd all be freezing. God knows exactly what he's doing. Okay, listen, by the way, almost all the founding fathers of science were Judeo-Christian in their values. Did you know that? Don't believe me? Go look it up and see. Search it out and see. Almost all of the founding fathers of science were Judeo-Christian in their belief. They believed in the God of the Bible, whether they be Christians or Jews. And that's a fact. You can get books on that, by the way, regarding their faith. So class, listen, you have logic and reason on your side. If you're ever brought into that place where somebody is going to question you or talk to you about, what do you think about creation? Listen, you have logic and reason on your side. People get all hostile about God because they don't want to think about ever talking to him or meeting him. But I just want to say this, and this is one of those offensive statements. I believe that if you cannot consider the creator God of the universe, you are intellectually dishonest. I'm sorry if that hurts you, but it's true. Christians, we never need to be afraid in our classrooms regarding the evidence. Because the evidence, if it's true evidence, if it's true, proved, it will bring you closer to God. Don't worry about it. Oh, we found people running around on some planet somewhere. I remember when everyone was talking about when we got close to Mars, what are we going to see? Well, first of all, if there would have been people there, they probably would have been smarter than us. They probably would have like John 3:16 waving at the camera as it flew by. God made it all. The Bible says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's the first verse of the Bible. You get through that verse right there, it's downhill the rest of the way. The Bible's easy after that. Romans chapter 1, verse 20 to 22. For since the creation of the world is invisible, attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, or they knew about God, they did not glorify him as God, neither were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So here's what they do. Professing themselves to be wise, they've become fools. Wow. But listen, Darwin 1:1 says, in the beginning was an accident. Everything you see is so fantastically perfect and wonderful that it had to come from a big accident. Darwin 1:2 says, God cannot be the cause and effect of creation because it doesn't fit into the way I want to think or live my life. I made that up, but it's good. Point number two tonight, history versus the creative writing of the revisionist. I know that's a long one, but history, real history. See, I don't like history. You get older, you like history because you become part of history because you're older. History versus creative writing or the creative writing of the revisionist. Revisionism is a big deal right now. And quite frankly, suckers fall for revisionism. Suckers fall for it. Huh? There was no George Washington. Really? Wow. They just fall for it. People in authority have an agenda, they make a statement, and people without research, skills, or passion, they don't study it, and it becomes, in fact, listen, who said I can see Russia from my house? Come on, say it louder. Sarah Palin, is that what I'm hearing? Sarah Palin never said that. I can see Russia from my house. Most Americans believe Sarah Palin said that. Tammy Faye said it, acting like Sarah Palin on Saturday Night Live. Tina Fey was mocking Sarah Palin and said, "I can see Reggie from my house." And then people went out on the streets and began to say, "Did you hear what Sarah Palin said? She said she could see Russia from her house." The only problem was Tina Fey said it, mocking Sarah Palin on Saturday Night Live. And 50% of you just thought that Sarah Palin had said that. Nobody researched it to find it out. You see how dangerous this is? In this modern day age where everyone's texting back and forth and Twittering and they're emailing and they're blogging and they're Facebooking and they're MySpacing and all the stuff that goes on, what do you know is true? You can go to Wikipedia. You know Wikipedia is a big deal because it's convenient. Did you know that Wikipedia itself has a disclaimer and says this stuff may or may not be true? Did you know that? I remember talking to Brigitte Gabriel, and I said, "You know, I was looking at you at Wikipedia," and I had to laugh. She goes, "Yeah, I was reading about me on Wikipedia." And she said, "It says there that Brigitte Gabriel claims to have been born in Lebanon." Well, guess what? Brigitte Gabriel was born in Lebanon. She didn't write that piece about herself. Somebody else did. Watch out what you hear. But see, we've not taught critical thinking. And so when that's not present, there'll be the revisionism taking place that we're seeing today. I told you last week, John Adams said, "Facts are stubborn things." I love that. And from the world history to the birth of America to the current events of our day, politics, religion, culture are being reinterpreted through the revisionist lens, which shows everything in a crisis today and everything we need to fix because the world's blowing up any moment. They've got all this stuff about how badly we need to commandeer the planet and make it work. Listen, it's worked fine before we got here. God's timepiece is perfect. We're not God. He knows what he's doing. But there's an attempt to revise God out of America. Who's doing that? The revisionist, changing history. There's an attempt to remove God out of government, out of our schools, and out of our courts. And almost every one of those areas, they've succeeded. And our kids are growing up today in a godless system with secular textbooks that make fun of God, mock Jesus Christ, and pay more attention to and more volume of information to Marilyn Monroe than George Washington. And how will Marilyn Monroe help you in life versus the incredible perseverance of a George Washington? Unless you're playing Trivia Pursuit. I guess maybe knowledge of her will help. But the value of history is this. History is his story to us. And you know the old saying, for those who don't know history will be bound to repeat it. You only lick that hot iron once. You'll never do it twice. A child that has burned their fingers on an oven, they'll never do it a second time. Why? History. Example. Oh, I love this stuff. We're not going to make it. I love this stuff. Thomas Jefferson. Dr. Benjamin, I need everybody to listen. Thomas Jefferson, Dr. Benjamin Rush, he's a hero of mine, Benjamin Franklin, all united to form the abolitionist movement to stamp out slavery. Did you know that? No, because you know what? Recently we just heard from a kid, "Oh man, America, what's America done for me? And all those founding fathers, bunch of slave owners." You know what? They did own slaves. It was very vogue to own slaves in Europe and in America. Were all the slave owners nice to their slaves? No. But were there slave owners who bought as many slaves as they possibly could to clothe them, feed them, and educate them, which was against the law, by the way. King George said, "You educate a slave, and I'll have somebody come over to America and kill you." Did you know that? Did you know it was against the law to lead a slave to Christ? Because they didn't have the approval of the Church of England. Did you know that? I've been to Thomas Jefferson's house. I've read the writings of his slaves. Did you know this? Thomas Jefferson not only taught them how to read, he taught them how to read out of the Bible. And you learn that in a secular tour there at Monticello. Awesome. Yeah, but they owned slaves. Yes, they owned slaves. And as soon as the freedom of America was intact, they began to release those slaves. And by the way, one of Jefferson's arguments were, gosh, I would have released these people today, but they would be homeless, they would be unemployed. What do I do? By the way, he went to France and ministered as a representative for the United States of America and took half of his black staff with him and had a ball. They had a blast. It depends on who you're talking about. Just remember this. These three guys wanted to set people free. That's not what you're hearing today in our classes. Everybody's having to apologize for America and for our Judeo-Christian values. By the way, here's a test. I will answer it tonight or some other night. Where was Europe? Don't say it if you know. Where was Europe and America buying the slaves from? Who were they buying the slaves from? Don't say it. That right there will flip your wagon. Example number two, what was the United States' first international war? What was the United States' first international war? By the way, a little bit of it's been America's longest running war. It's so constant that you don't even think of it as a war. The United States' first international war was in 1805. It commenced by order of President Thomas Jefferson when he launched an attack against the invasion of the Muslim Barbary pirates in North Africa in the Mediterranean Sea to free thousands of slaves that had been taken captive from their African villages. Did you know that? Did you guys learn that in school? How come? This is a big deal. Our first international war after becoming a nation was against Islamic pirate terrorists on the high seas of the Mediterranean who had took from their villages in North Africa, Africans, and took them to Alexandria, took them to Tripoli, and sold them on the international slave market to Europe and America. Thomas Jefferson said, "This is wrong." And launched an armada and sent the United States Marine Corps for their first international mission. Eight of them. Hey, don't laugh. There's only eight guys, but you know what they did? They whipped them and got those guys free. Why don't you guys know this stuff? It's available. You see, revisionists will tell you what they want you to know. American history is awesome, and God is all in it if you take the time to learn it. Example number three, who is considered to be one of the greatest scientists that America has ever produced in its history? Anybody know? You should be afraid to say something because I'm busting you on every one of these things. He wrote an almanac. He made a clock out of wood, and for 50 years... it was only 1 second off within 50 years, and he made it by hand out of wood. He is the man who designed the Beltway of Washington, D.C. He was an astronomer, a physicist. He was a farmer, a botanist, an amazing mathematician, probably the best mathematician we've ever had. His mathematician problems that he's created are, I've seen them, I've had a chance to see them in Washington, D.C., and Harvard students graduating senior year cannot solve his problems. Only a few of them have. Are you ready for this? His name's Benjamin Banneker. Anybody heard of him before? Raise your hand. Anybody? Thank God some of you have over here. What's wrong with the rest of you? These kids are over here. Benjamin Banneker. Thomas Jefferson wrote to the King of France and said, "You got to have this guy over. He's brilliant." And when he showed up and stepped off the boat in France, the king freaked because Benjamin Banneker is a black man. Oh, yeah. Awesome, awesome man. By the way, I don't have the time to get into it. You should hear how he came to Jesus. Oh, my goodness. You ever heard of the term kick the bucket? Yes. Go find out what that means regarding Benjamin Banneker's life. Oh, I wish I could tell you this. We don't have the time. I don't even have the time to quit now. We're so far behind. By the way, listen to what Thomas Jefferson said about him in a letter to him. "Nobody wishes more than I do." He's writing to Benjamin Banneker, Thomas Jefferson, president. "Nobody wishes more than I do that nature has given to our black brethren talents equal to those of the other colors of men, and that the appearance of the lack of them is owed merely to the degradation in the condition of their existence, both in Africa and in America." President Thomas Jefferson. Isn't that awesome? Homegrown revisionists right here in California. This is now from our nation's past to the moment right now, Sacramento, Associated Press. In the first major hearing of its kind in the United States, challenging the redefinition of gender, revisionism, will occur on Tuesday, that was yesterday, May 12, 2009, in the Sacramento Superior Court at 9 a.m., in direct response to the passage of California Senate Bill 777, SB 777. California Attorney General filed a motion to dismiss the case, arguing that the law does not support any claims of violations of privacy. In agreement with Brown is the Gay Straight Alliance, which filed a motion to dismiss the case, arguing that students should have equal rights. Doesn't that sound great? Listen, are you guys with me? Yes. Students should have equal rights and non-discriminatory facilities. Doesn't that sound great? That sounds great. Doesn't that sound like, you know what? Asian, white, Hispanic, black should all drink from the same fountain. Don't you believe that we should all drink from the same fountain? Absolutely. Don't you think that no matter what color you are, you should be able to use the same bathroom? All the guys go into the bathroom. Doesn't matter what. There shouldn't be a black bathroom and a white bathroom. All men are created equal. Okay, sounds great. Non-discriminatory access to restrooms and other gender-sensitive previously segregated facilities. Oh, I see where this is going. An attorney with Advocates for Faith and Freedom stated, nothing will prevent the 250-pound linebacker from deciding he wants to share the locker room with the cheerleaders if he chooses so. He further stated, if implemented, this bill will have disastrous effects on our school system. This social experiment defies common sense. Parents sending their children to public schools are trusting that school officials will protect their children's safety. It defies logic that schools will require by law to ignore a person's anatomy. SB 777 is not to create a gender-neutral environment, but to disregard the traditional value definition and its beliefs and respect for a mom and a dad in the raising of their children. SB 777. Your daughter is going to be in her bathroom at school in highly, if you've ever seen a guy's bathroom. Listen, I don't know how girls are in their bathroom. I've never been in a girl's bathroom. But I would think, like girls normally, you guys probably have doors on your bathrooms. You do? I've been to Sweden. They don't have doors, and they don't have, you just walk in there. And listen, I can't be graphic because there's young people here. But you know what? Women are very discreet, and they're very private, and it's, you know, you see nothing. Guys are, hi, Bill, how are you doing? Hey, Mike, what's going on? You think that's going to happen in these gender-free zones?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Being a Christian While Being on Campus. That's the title of this series we're presenting here on Real Radio, Being a Christian While Being on Campus. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, this series called Being a Christian While Being on Campus has been featured here on Real Radio in one way or another, either by airing it as much as we can in the time that we have on the radio, or by making it a special offer. Now, as you can imagine, we get a lot of requests from a lot of folks saying, hey, how do I get a copy? Well, of course, our goal really is to simply equip you and to prepare you. So this time, we're going to do both. Not only are we presenting much of it right here on Real Radio, we're also offering it right now as a 2-DVD set for your gift of any amount to this radio broadcast outreach. Of course, by getting the DVD set, you'll see and hear the entire series uncut completely. So let me say that again. For your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you Pastor Jack's 2-DVD set, Being a Christian While Being on Campus. By the way, as it turns out, this is a pretty good idea for your Sunday school class, too. So whether you call, click, or write, ask for it by name, Being a Christian While Being on Campus. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like, you can write to us and send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And, of course, all of our contact info can be found right there at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.